church.
Kind of along the lines of the stuff that we've been sharing at home, you know, just in the middle of all the stuff going on, you know, it's just being able to focus on what the Lord has already done. You know, you really can't say that enough, you know, what he's already done. It's not what he's going to do about disease or virus, about whatever's going on. It's what he's already done. You know, I mean, I think that's maybe just a better spot than anything, but just talking about what he's already done. You know?
And, you know, I think the main thing, too, is that, you know, and I'll just share kind of what I was going to share, just because there's obviously things that happen in life, and there's things that happen in the world where, you know, you can see that something has to be done externally, right? So then people will criticize that because, you know, again, you see things in the world, and you see things, you know, okay, if people are sick or somebody's dying or something like that, and you see external things that you know something has to happen there, right? Even if it's not the stuff that's going on, like, in the world as a whole, just stuff in our personal lives or anything. And you see things that you know should be different, right? And so how can you say then that everything's already done when externally I see that something looks like it has to be done? You know, we say Jesus did everything, and yet there's all these different things in the world, in our life, that people will look at, and even as believers that know Jesus did everything, see that certain things, that things should be changed. Something has to change there. And I'll just mention this, that the Holy Spirit is the grace that Jesus provided, right? And there's a difference between a manifestation of the finished work of Jesus and the finished work of Jesus. So it's not that we look at things in the world and we say nothing needs to be changed or nothing needs to be manifested. But that's the difference between the work of the Holy Spirit, which is just a manifestation of what Jesus finished, and the actual finished work of Jesus. What Jesus provided was 2,000 years ago. So we could even, like, I could look at something in my life and I could say, that needs change, right? I could say, you know what, I can do something wrong, or I could see something bodily or anything, and I could say, that needs change. But at the same time, we're saying everything is already done. So how can I say that needs change? There's something that needs to be changed, and then we say at the same time, oh no, all the change that you need, Jesus already did it. It's already done. You know, you have husbands and wives that maybe you see the relationship needs improvement, and that I should respect my spouse more. Or I see something bodily that needs to happen. You know, I have this thing in my body, and you're just saying that Jesus finished everything, and I have this in my body. I have a growth here, or I have a thing here, or whatever the issue is, or I have problems with family, or I have whatever it is. Why do you keep saying Jesus finished everything, and it's all about what he already did, and Jesus already labored, and all this stuff? But, you know, it doesn't compute with people. It almost seems like you're dismissing, right, the thing at hand. It sounds more like, you know, and obviously I'm not speaking for myself, but it sounds like you're dismissing the thing at hand rather than, more than anything, because, okay, whether, again, like I said, just to bring up the thing at hand right now, you know, the virus and everything like that, but even if it's not that, regardless of what it is, it's not a dismissal of that, though. It's that, again, it's understanding those two things. Externally, manifestly, something can need change. But again, but that's the difference that people don't understand. You're going to see things that don't look finished, but it's not because it's not finished. It's already been finished. What you need is not for something to actually be done or accomplished. You need the manifestation of what was already accomplished. You don't need God to send Jesus back down to earth to provide, that's a better word, to provide something. What you need in your life, whether that's morally, you see, you need moral change in your life, some kind of virtue that you see lacking in your life, something bodily, something, life to your body, or you see something in family or anything like that, you can look at that, and when someone says it's already finished, you're like, well, if it's finished, then why don't I see it? This is why most believers don't look at situations like that and say it's finished. They believe Jesus finished the punishment for sin. which in essence actually encompasses all of this anyway. The punishment for sin is what you're looking at in the world right now. You know, so but they don't see it that way. They just see this is all that the Lord has finished, in essence, to people, is that the Father sent his Son, and now we have a right relationship with God. We have fellowship with God. God has just chosen us. Now we can talk to him now. That's the only thing that people see is actually finished. They don't look at, oh, somebody died. That's already finished. That person actually already died 2,000 years ago at the cross. That was fulfilled in the body of Jesus. They don't look at their actions and something that may be lacking in their actions and say, oh, like, that's already finished. Finished, completed, done. No work has to be done there at all. They don't see it that way because this is the assumption. If Jesus already did it, the assumption is, I would see it. I would see it automatically, I would see it take place on the earth if Jesus really did already finish it. And that's where we need knowledge. That's where we need education. We need information on the things the Lord has shown all of us. In the fact that even Jesus said this, I don't know where the verse is. You know, would you mind even looking it up? Where it's Jesus in the Gospels, and he says, he was speaking a parable to those who thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately, even if you just search for kingdom and appear. But Jesus was giving a parable, and it says that he was giving a parable. Mind you, he's on earth, right, to finish the work that the Father sent him to do. And yet he said he was speaking to people who thought the kingdom, namely the Jews at the time, who thought the kingdom would appear immediately, right? You have the reference? What? Okay, Luke 19:11 is where it is. So you can look it up on your own time if you want to later, Luke 19:11. And again, this video will be posted, so you'll be able to reference this again later. Luke 19:11, but look at this. Jesus comes to earth. This is like a perfect verse for what we're talking about. He comes to earth to finish a work. He said on the cross, it's finished. And then he clarifies the confusion here by saying, you people think the kingdom that I come to bring will appear immediately, that it will manifest immediately. And just so you know, if anyone wants to interrupt me at any time, just kind of go like this, and I'll pass the mic. But that the kingdom would appear immediately. It doesn't mean the kingdom wasn't brought immediately, because Jesus came preaching that the kingdom of God is near. And it was an announcement that even John the Baptist said, because he was coming to bring the kingdom of heaven to us on earth. Because people will say, oh, the kingdom of God isn't on earth yet, though. No, that's baloney. The kingdom of God is on earth, and that's what Jesus came to bring. But people will say, well, what do you mean the kingdom of God is on earth already? What do you mean all my problems are already fixed? That's a dismissal of problems. That's not taking it seriously. No, it is taking it seriously. It's just seeing it that it's already been provided. It's already done. God is not waiting for anything more to be done, and yet we look at situations, and again, we're confused. We don't know how to reconcile those two things. It's finished with, why doesn't it look finished? It's finished where I see these problems in my life or somebody else's life or whatever, but they're not even really problems, though. They're just things that are waiting for a manifestation of what's the solution. Jesus already fixed all those problems. Again, you can look at anything in your life and say, Jesus fixed that. Everything. You know, when I was first growing, and I know this is the same for all of us, when I first started growing, I would ask the Lord, like, Lord, did you provide this, right? Like, what's provided? So people would say things like healing. You know, he provided the gifts of the Spirit, things like that. But I was always asking, like, what's the extent, Jesus, of what you provided? And then the Lord eventually, it took years, this is actually not too old of an understanding, even for us. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And you come to realize everything in the world. You look at any problem in this world, and Jesus overcame it. The only two things, I won't go into all that, but what, anything that Adam brought into the world, that's what Jesus came to remove. The removal of all of these things, the work for that has been finished already. And you still see these things linger, and people say, well, we just live in a fallen world, and they shrug their shoulders, and they assume that it's not finished. Well, Jesus just took my punishment so I could have a right relationship with God, but my problem, like, you know, my relationship with my husband isn't actually fixed. My dilemma or addiction isn't actually already fixed. Coronavirus wasn't already done. We live in a fallen world. Things happen. You shrug your shoulders at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that brings us to, like, something that we were talking about. Just I guess, several conversations over the last couple of days about that, that then you get into the whole thing because people see that they don't see what they want to see manifest, right? So then we get into this thing about faith then, right? Because then we get into a camp where if you're having faith, then what that actually means is deny then what you see, right? Because then it's, oh, you know, you're really sick, so you're going to deny that you're sick. Or you're hacking away and you're going to say, oh, no, but I'm good. I'm blessed of God. You know, and it's not that you're not blessed. It's that, you know, we get, because of the misunderstanding of knowing what faith is, right? You get into this thing about thinking, oh, well, faith is me denying what I see to try to get to a place where I can believe, or the thing that we were talking about confessing, right? Faith is me just confessing it until I get it, confessing it until it manifests, right? But it's not any of those things. I mean, obviously, that's what we're talking about, that it's about faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done. And he said, that if you believe me, you would see the glory of God. You would see the manifestation.
Right. Yeah. Right. And again, even what you're saying, though, about faith, that's all still future tense. Because people don't know how to reconcile the fact that this is already actually done. Not that, because this is how the Word of Faith movement reconciles those two things. They say, okay, it's finished, and it doesn't look finished, so it must be that I just say it's finished. That, oh, God calls those things that are not as though they were. That's a bad translation, by the way. The Bible doesn't actually say as though they were. Calling something that isn't as though it was is lying. That's the definition of lying. If you say something, this is true, and it's not really true at the time, you're just lying. That's God doesn't do that. That's not what faith is. You know, again, but that's the only way of reconciling those two things. It's finished. God says it's finished. God looks at your problem and says, it's done. That's already done. It's already fixed. That's already been accomplished perfectly. And you're like, but I'm still going through it. I see someone else that still went through something. I see the coronavirus or whatever, and people don't have the perspective on it that it's actually finished. Unfortunately, obviously the news is not going to have this perspective, so obviously we should be discerning with that, but the church doesn't even have that perspective on it. They're still praying, God, please, you know, we look to you, God, for your aid, for your help, for your... There's nothing wrong with praying, but aid and help and asking God to move, oh, you know, but we're really, and people would be positive, oh, but we're really seeing a move of God here, though, because you see, we saw the coronavirus decline a little bit, so we're really seeing a move. No. All this is present tense or future tense and present tense and future tense and present tense and future tense, and nothing is past tense. That's how you know you're not hearing good preaching. If it's not past tense preaching, it's not gospel preaching, because we live in a time, now, if you lived in the Old Testament, you'd be future tense preaching. If you lived in, while watching the crucifixion, you could do present tense teaching. But seeing as we live 2,000 years after the crucifixion, you have to be always teaching past tense stuff. And it's not fake it till you make it. It's not saying it's finished until it actually comes about. No. It's actually done. Here's how it works, though, right? So I'll just go through this. Jesus finished it. It's done. What you're looking at right now is already finished. You don't need God to do anything, and there's no move of God. You know, we titled a message of yours, God is not on the move. Because again, what does that do? It gives respect to the cross again. God is not on the move, or people looking forward to the resurrection, or when Jesus comes back. Oh, great, when Jesus comes back. Again, notice, it's all future tense or present tense and back and forth. But here's how you reconcile those two things the proper way. Jesus died at the cross and provided everything perfectly. He did all the work perfectly. Jesus said, I came to finish the Father's work, to do his will and to finish the Father's work. And he did finish it. It is actually done. What's actually done? All of your problems. They're done. I'm not saying you don't see those problems right now even. I'm not saying you have to, mind you, but you may still even see the problem, but it's done already. Jesus had that problem in mind when he, because remember, that problem is just a lingering of sin and death and what Adam did in the garden, you know. And Jesus came to remove those things, and all that is actually already done. As a believer, when you receive the finished work, you are receiving all that he came to provide you. You receive it in your belly, like we were saying before. That's already on the inside of you. The finished work, in other words, all that Jesus came to provide, is inside of us right now. When we grow in our knowledge as believers, after that first day when it comes on the inside of us, as we grow in our knowledge, the finished work, i.e. the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is all the qualities of God, and all the qualities of heaven and all the good things, whether that's life or whether that's goodness and virtue on the other hand, whether it's moral or whether it's power and strength for your body or for something else, all that the Holy Spirit encompasses, that whole thing. That's why, like, when Jesus said, if you being evil give good gifts to your children, how will your Heavenly Father not give the Holy Spirit? And yet another gospel says, how will your Heavenly Father not give good things to those who ask him? So the good things that Jesus came to provide is actually just the Holy Spirit. So the gospels mixing up those words is actually perfect because it shows the two sides of what Jesus is actually saying there. But the good things that Jesus provided are inside of us already. The finished work of Jesus sitting in your belly, if you're a believer, right? You have to receive it first, you know, by faith. But that's already sitting inside of you right now. So what are we saying? We're saying exactly what Jesus was just saying in Luke, what was that, Luke 19:11? What we're saying is exactly what Jesus just said there. What we are explaining right now is exactly what he explained there. The finished work is actually finished. But unbeknownst to us, it's here. And it hasn't appeared yet. You know what the word appear means, right? That means visible. Visible. You're not waiting for a work to be done, but as you get to know Jesus, and we are getting to know Jesus, that's why we're having conversations like this right now, when most churches and people in general are not having conversations like this. When you get to know Jesus, the finished work is just made visible. That's a far cry from God doing something for you. I mean, imagine an invisible finished work that you have. You have enough life in you to heal the whole earth of coronavirus twice, three times, four times, five times until Jesus comes back. That is residing inside of us. And that is what Jesus came to bring. And he already brought it. And nothing else has to be done. We don't have to talk present tense or future tense anymore. We can talk past tense. And yet, that doesn't make sense though. If Jesus really finished it, why would I still be seeing it? Because that's what he's trying to clarify there. You guys think that when I come to finish the work, it's automatically going to appear. The kingdom that I'm coming to bring, heaven's already on earth. Heaven is on earth right now, on this stage right now. I have enough power in me to recreate the whole universe. And I have authority to do so. Well, you know, people just point at things then. Point at physical things. Well, why this and why that? Because you don't get it. You don't get it. You think that if it was really finished, it would have appeared already, but Jesus says it to those who thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. It's incorrect. Just because you're ignorant doesn't mean he didn't really finish it. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's actually not sitting there, right there, in you. That's how you reconcile those two things. It's through knowledge that that grace and peace is multiplied to us, and we receive these things.
I don't know if you have the email that you sent out, but like Ms. Kim had sent out that email, and I know it was internal to the Helps Ministry, so I don't know that we necessarily have to read, like, you know, if there were personal things in there, but I think it was just, I don't know if it was in her email to the team or if it was something that we were all talking about, but just the thing about, and I think it was the email, just the email, as I remember, it was just given that thing, like, you know what, Jesus is sitting down, like, he does. I don't know if you want to read a little bit of it,
you want to, or do you want me to paraphrase it?
Yeah, you can paraphrase it, it's fine.
It's up to you, you can read whatever it is that you want to read out of it.
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to remind everyone and encourage everyone that the coronavirus really isn't a big deal, if we really understand what Jesus has already, past tense is what I said, done. This falls under that category. It's already taken care of. It's no different than anything else that you may go through in this world, and that includes sickness, disease, death. It doesn't matter. You can name anything you want. It's already taken care of. With all the talk, and that's really everywhere you go, you would think that Jesus must be jumping up and down and pacing back and forth, wondering what to do. But guess what? He is still seated. He isn't nervous or uneasy or worried. He has already completed and perfectly, taken care of everything that was needed for us on the cross over 2,000 years ago. And he has given us his spirit so we can rest in his work. So there's nothing that we need to do. We just need to acknowledge him. We need to grow in the knowledge of what he's already accomplished for us. And he's given us the spirit, again, so we can rest. And if we are feeling uneasy or nervous about anything at all, And even if we aren't worried, I just told them that they should just still do that one thing, and that's just acknowledge him and allow him to teach us. And that goes for crisis or non-crisis. That's just everything that needs to be done every single day.
And again, just so I'll run with this. About the seated thing, right? It's just that we were just talking about this at home and just about the whole Jesus being seated. Obviously, the word seated in the Bible, literally, it refers to, I should say symbolically, refers to in being inactive. Like the Bible says in Hebrews, it says that in the Old Testament, every priest stands daily ministering, but this one, after he'd made one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. And he makes the comparison, and notice that in the comparison, you know, could you actually get that reference for me too? Sorry. I just don't usually have these references on hand. But the at least it's the man-made part that I'm not remembering. notice the difference, though, in the comparison. In the Old Testament, it says every priest stands. It didn't have to say stands there, but it says every priest stands daily ministering. But this one, speaking about Jesus, after he'd made one sacrifice for sins forever, that he sat down at the right hand of God. And so the Christ being seated is not symbolic of him being in all authority. Like sometimes in the church, we like to think that, because he's seated on a throne. So we say, he's seated on a throne, so that's just symbolic of the fact that he has authority over everything. He does, but none of the sitting down specifically is in reference to the finished work. It's in reference to the fact that he doesn't have to do anything anymore. Do you have the No. It's the that also says it. But if you look up priest stands, or if King James, it'll be standeth. If you're ever looking up something in the King James version, what was that? Hebrews 10. Okay. So Hebrews 10. Just because if you search for something in the King James version and you type stands, you always got to remember what version you're searching, because it'll be standeth. And so anyway, but it is Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:11. Can I just read it real quick? It just says, "And every priest stands daily ministering and offerings, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." So the sitting down part is obviously the important part that really it represents the fact that he's not doing anything anymore. And actually, this is what I was going to say before. It's just the fact that I taught a while ago about just the fact that, and this is what we were talking about just like yesterday, the day before, that when you have an issue, when something happens, right? Because I'm sure you could think about things, right? Either now or in the past, where you're going through something and you see an issue, right? I'm not saying it's not an issue, right? But you see this, and what I had said a while ago is that notice that Jesus does not come back every time that you go through something. In fact, he doesn't do anything. Now watch. Lots of people accuse God of that. Why doesn't God do anything, right? In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I've listened to some kind of science-y type stuff, like biblical-based science kind of videos and stuff like that before. To certain extents, I find some of that interesting. You know, I'll watch it on YouTube or something like that. And I've seen atheists quoted plenty of times. And even on videos, to be honest, I've even heard clips from videos that are not even Christian-based or anything like that. Atheists, a lot of times, their biggest accusation as to why they don't believe in, the one guy I heard is Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm sure some people have heard of his name before. I don't recommend watching his videos necessarily, but I've heard him quoted saying before that, listen to this, right? This is one of the reasons why he said that he is not an atheist, from what I understand, but like kind of leans that way. And he can't believe in a God that loves the world because there's so much suffering. An atheist, one of their main points to a believer is because I cannot believe in a God. As I'm talking, I'm remembering this. I've heard many clips from notorious atheists. I can't believe in a God that you say is love when this, why is there so much suffering in the world? And again, in the midst of a conversation like that, maybe you do have time, if you ever hear someone say that, to actually sit them down and actually discuss these things. But let's go back to Luke 19:11. You assume that if the kingdom of heaven, where God's will is always done, was really brought to earth and given to you, that it would appear immediately. Luke 19:11. Jesus came with knowing that people had the notion that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. The Jews were, let me give you an example, the Jews were waiting to be, because they were in slavery or captivity to the Romans in Jesus' time. And Jesus comes and then he dies. And the disciples became depressed. It says they were sleeping. They fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane because of sorrow. Because Jesus kept talking about dying. And people will say, oh, because Jesus didn't really come to free them from the Romans. He came to free them from the bondages in their heart. No, that's so silly. Yes, he did come to free them from the bondage to the Romans. Yes, he did. The Jews were freed from the bondage to the Romans, but then again, any problem. There is no bondage for a believer to anything, anything in this world. Jesus came to set us free from everything, including bondage to another man or whatever it may be. As much as God can't be in bondage to the Romans, those that believe in him cannot be any more in bondage to the Romans. We have authority over all nations and over all the universe to give life to it, not the other way around. So of course Jesus came to bring freedom from captivity to the Romans or anyone else that the Jews would ever be captive to or any other problem that you can name. But the notion that it would appear immediately is what gets people. That's why atheists say, well, I can't believe in a God that you say is love because it just doesn't make sense. Because they're all about the evidence, right? And they're all about, which they're really not anyway, because the evidence does point to the fact that there is a God. So an atheist is kind of a counterintelligent. Right. So it doesn't follow the evidence anyway. But for someone that wants to follow the evidence, I can understand if you want to follow the evidence and you're just looking at physical things and you say, well, you say God is love. And the way the church preaches today, it's like, you know, look, God loves us because look at the beautiful creation, you know? And I don't want to stray too far off with this. But I'm sure we'll probably have to wrap up pretty soon. But just the concept of how can God be love when I look around and see so much suffering? But that's the whole point. You are looking at evidence, sure. You're looking at things. You're seeing things. In real life, you're seeing things. But you're judging God based off an assumption. What is that assumption? Again, typical doctrine in the church doesn't help anybody with this assumption because the church doesn't usually know how to explain this. On the assumption that if the kingdom of God really were here, it would have appeared. You can't say that God loves me and that Jesus really finished everything for me. When I see all this in the world, I can't believe in a God like that. Well, you can't believe in a God like that because you're looking at evidence based off of assumptions. Assumptions that if it really happened, I'd already see it by now. Right. Well, right. And instead of, you want to look, you assume that you'd see the finished work automatically when Jesus said, if you believe, then you'd see the glory of God. Everything is based on us getting to know Jesus, but it's already done. You're not getting to know Jesus so that something can be done. You're getting to know what has already been done, and then it just becomes visible. It just becomes visible. There's nothing that actually has to be done. And that's why I said that Jesus remains seated. Everybody can talk all the garbage that they want, and it is mostly, it is all garbage. When people, whether it's news or things like that, you can listen to the news and things to become informed, but there comes a time where you do have to just kind of be discerning about those things because no one's giving you that perspective. No one's giving you that perspective. Not that I know of. And when something happens, even right now, Jesus did not stand up. He didn't get up. Well, how could you say that Jesus is love, that God is love, when he sees what's going on and he stays seated? He's still sitting there. Right now, he's still sitting. So Jesus, what? Again, you assume it's not finished. You assume that you would have seen it already instead of the other way around. That first, if you understand that it's finished and grow in that knowledge, then you'll see it. Then you'll see it. We flip it backwards, but it's if you believe, then you'd see the glory of God. And how do you believe that? You got to be listening to good teaching. You got to be listening. And again, like the Lord was saying before, maybe I'll include the prayer in this. I'm not sure if I'll end up including the prayer in the what we upload later. But just what we were just praying before about, you know, it's good to listen to what's in somebody else's belly. But you can also listen to the Lord, and you got to listen to Jesus for yourself. Pay attention to him. because you have the Word of God in your belly, and God can teach you those things. You know, and when we see things in someone else's life, in our life, you can just count them all up and say, look at all the things Jesus already finished. He already did it. Jesus already died for sin. What's the only bad thing that came into the world through Adam? Sin and death. Sin and death are the only two things, bad things. That, so if you're ever debating with somebody, and again, I think we should probably wrap up here soon. So I just keep in mind if anyone wants to share something just before, I can pass the mic. If you're ever talking to somebody and say, well, what do you mean Jesus really finished everything? A real easy way to talk about it, even though you do have verses like Jesus said that he came to overcome the world, and that when we believe, we also with Jesus have victory over the world, and Galatians 1:4, where it said that Jesus came to redeem us from this present evil age, all these things about the world and this age and everything in it that Jesus came to redeem us from. Again, Galatians 1:4 if you want to look it up. So you have verses like that, which are always good, but also just the simplicity of the fact that the garden was perfect. The Garden of Eden was perfect. There was no sin or death or issues or problems. God saw that it was good. He doesn't look at the world and say that right now. He looks at the world and says it's finished. He just doesn't look at it and say it's good right now because it's yet to receive the finished work, even though it can. We can share that as we grow. But sin and death came into the world through one man, Romans 5 says. Sin and death. That's the only two things that came into this world that corrupted it and that made all the things that you see right now, coronavirus or anything else, everything. And I don't mean to mention coronavirus all the time because like Ms. Kim said, it's not a big deal. It doesn't mean you don't take precautions. It doesn't mean that if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you want to sanitize your hands, I'd recommend sanitizing your hands. We've been sanitizing our hands. If we go out, we sanitize our hands. We do these things. Why? Because it's not finished? No, I don't even do it because, and you shouldn't either because you feel vulnerable or because you feel like incomplete. I do it as a precaution, just simply a precaution because I'm still growing. And even at that, I know Jesus, so I still don't have to get sick or things like that. I know Jesus, but that's why I do things as a precaution. So don't hear me wrong. I'm not trying to steer anyone away from, if you feel sick, to go to the doctor or to, like I said, wear a mask or stay in your house for a while. Fine, that's all good. We're doing a lot of that, right? As you see fit to do things, go ahead and do them, but just do them as precautions and not with the knowledge that somehow you're vulnerable or that something has not been done about that already.
What you do about those things has nothing to do with your faith in Jesus. Like, we think they're linked, that if I sanitize my hands, then I have less faith. If I sanitize my, but faith in Jesus Christ has nothing to do with your actions. It's just, that's just what we, I mean, this is what you were saying before. Just keep listening to Jesus.
You know? Right. Again, faith is in your heart and then in your mouth. It's never about what you're doing outwardly. You know, it can produce works, but it's not, faith is not a work, right? So doing all those things doesn't mean you don't believe God. Believe God and put on a mask if you need to. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm serious. Like, I sanitize my hand and I know Jesus. But I do it as because I know I'm growing, but not because I don't think something's been done about that already. Go ahead and do all those things. I'm not trying to steer anybody, you know, away from those things if to the extent that you feel you need to do those things, whatever that extent may be, right? It's not the same for everybody. It really isn't. It's not the same for everybody. It depends on what you know. It depends on you can grow to a point where you have a certain revelation from God where I don't ever need to go to the doctor again, and that's fine. Like, that's fine, right? I mean, again, I could have a million examples about this, but you know, that most people do that prematurely and they feel they have to do that or something. Do whatever you need to do. It's not about that. But it is about knowing, just to get back to what I was saying before, sin and death came into this world through Adam. That encompasses everything because there's only two bad things that came into the world through Adam. And what did Jesus do? He took sin and death. Jesus died for sin. He took sin and the punishment thereof. And everything that you see is just remnants of the curse that was in the garden. It's just remnants of that. It's not your curse, mind you. It's not your curse. It's Adam's curse. But it's just remnants of these things, curses that we're already redeemed from, that we're not a part of anymore, a world that we're not a part of anymore. You can say it's a fallen world all you want, but I'm not a fallen person. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's a fallen world, so we shrug our shoulders at that. No. It's a finished thing that I'm already redeemed from, and as I grow in my knowledge, it will appear. That's the point. As I grow in my knowledge, all the things that Jesus already finished will appear, and that's all that we need to know about it. Because again, then that explains everything, and we don't have to question God by things that we see. We understand that's already been finished. And if you believe, you will see the glory of God, and that's applicable to everything. And you know what? Even, check this out, just maybe we can close with this. Even believers, you may know believers that don't even want to grow in their knowledge. Very soon, when Jesus comes back, They're going to see everything manifest that they already have. Every believer at one point or another gets these things manifest. They're not without hope that they will see the glory of God. The problem is they don't want to believe right now. So when Jesus comes back, the Bible says that he manifests. This is the morning star will rise in their hearts. That's actually the only thing that happens, actually, when Jesus comes back in his second coming, is that all believers get perfect revelation of Jesus. They no longer, as 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think it is, they no longer see things like an infant, like a child, and they see things face to face. That's talking about full knowledge of Jesus. That's all the thing, only thing that happens when Jesus comes back. So even believers, if you know believers that don't even want to grow in their knowledge, they're going to see the glory of God sooner or later. But here's my thing. I want to follow the instructions of God. God didn't say, tomorrow, when I come back, you'll see the glory of God. And that's when you should wait for the day I come back to have full knowledge of me and see all these things manifest. He says, no, today, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart against it. So I do want to follow the instructions of God and take part in these things now. Be a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. But every believer will. Every believer will. And there's a lot I could even say about that. You mind if I just share one more thing? Again, unless there's something else anyone want to share about this, about any of this also. But just to give you another thing too, even people that, and I'm not going to explain this, okay? So this is going to be probably a little bit of a cliffhanger. And this is not something I've ever shared before anyway, so I don't want to explain this entirely right now. I wouldn't have time, but even people that you know and love that even aren't saved, trust me, they still have benefits because you believe. That's all I'll say about that. Now and in the age to come, people that don't even know Jesus and never knew Jesus, that you love, that you know, they have benefits today, and they have benefits forever, even in the resurrection, because you know Jesus. There are so many verses I could share right now, and maybe in time I could share some of that too. But
I mean, that's salvation. But I'm saying the benefits that they have obviously is not the salvation that we possess, but benefits just the same. I mean, they receive benefits today from because of you.
Right. It's from the salvation in you. It's not that they have their own benefits straight from God, but they have, you know, even what we've been saying about secondhand knowledge, even, you know, they receive secondhand through you. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But just know, there's nothing that Jesus did not finish. Everything he finished, stand firm on that. It's done already. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise, because you have a Jesus that already did it. You keep your eyes on him. He'll teach you the truth. You don't let anybody else tell you or even give you the assumption or the implication that something drastic needs to be done. As much as you can take all the precautions, even in this time, wear a mask, hand sanitize, whatever you want to do, you got to know, though, it's not a big deal. How can you call something a big deal that's already been solved? It's not a big deal. Every person probably in this world is going to tell you it's a big deal. No, it is not a big deal. It is not a big deal. It's a big deal if Jesus never came and never planned on it. It is not a big deal. Nothing you go through is a big deal. If it seems like a big deal, start magnifying the cross. What he did was a big deal 2,000 years ago. Ain't nothing ever going to be a big deal again. Pastor Jose taught a message called The Peak that is also available. It's from 2018, I believe, called The Peak, and that's what he was teaching on that. But he was talking about kind of like the climax and sort of the peak as far as events go, was 2,000 years ago, and nothing big is ever going to happen again. It happened. It was finished. It was done. He sat down. In your heart, you can sit down too with him because it's actually finished. Take a load off. It's done. Well, I don't feel good, though, and I'm worried about it or whatever. Listen, you can do whatever you think you need to do. Like I said, it's not about what you do. Take any precaution or do anything you feel you need to do that's good for your body. It's the temple of God. Take care of it. That's fine for as long as you need to while you're still growing. That's fine. It still doesn't make it a big deal. And you still have Jesus. And anytime you're ever feeling otherwise, you need to, we have messages online for this. You listen to the Lord continually for yourself and meditate on his word and magnify the cross because it is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And that's not irresponsible to say. Secular people would say that's irresponsible. You're saying it's a big deal. People aren't going to treat it like a big deal. They're not going to take precautions. That's why I'm trying to back up what I'm saying. You still are growing. So take all the precautions that you feel are necessary with the notion in your mind, this is not a big deal. Jesus already finished this. And it's just a matter of time before I see the glory of God in this area. Even a believer that's not growing his knowledge can say that, because that even when Jesus comes back, he's going to see it. Even he can say, it's just a matter of time before I see the glory of God, let alone people that are actually doing what God told them to do. And today, when you hear my voice, we're not hardening our hearts against it. We're being refreshed and renewed in our hearts. We're being reformed in our understanding. And God has things to, like you said before, crazy things that he wants to manifest through us and show the world. And that's none of that is our job. God just wants us to listen to him and get to know what's already done. That's called past tense preaching. Past tense preaching. Don't go on the assumption like everybody else does about physical things and if it were really finished then, ... It's already done. Jesus already finished. If it looks otherwise, just remember, the finished work is on the inside of you. That's where God put it. And he'll manifest it right through you. You don't have to even worry about how or when or any of the stuff about it manifesting. It happens automatically as you get to know Jesus. You don't got to get a tingle up your spine. Nothing. Just get to know Jesus. And that manifests right through you. Out of your belly, like John 7 says, out of your belly will flow forth rivers of living water. That's how it comes from your belly, and it flows outward. That's how the finished work starts manifesting itself on everything. That's how all that works. Is there anything else? No? Good? Okay, do you want to just pray real quick, and then we'll stop? All right. So thank you, Jesus, so much for your finished work, Lord. We respect you, Lord, and we understand that it is finished, Lord. It is, in fact, finished. Thank you so much, Lord. And we as believers, you know, this is important to mention. Father, we as believers can't even be fooled. There's a lot of believers that will use that term, the finished work. There's a lot of believers that will use that term, the finished work, but they don't form all their doctrine around that statement. It's evident, Lord. So many people do not form all their doctrine around the fact that it is finished. They say they will talk about the finished work of Jesus sometimes, but when it comes to everything else, Lord, it's just we live in a fallen world, and they shrug their shoulders at that, and they don't understand. There's so many things I don't understand about why did God let this happen. God didn't let anything happen. He finished it already. We're the ones that are growing, and that's why we see what we see, and as we grow, we will see the glory of God. We'll see the kingdom that God Jesus already brought manifest in this world. So thank you so much, Father, for everything that you're speaking to us, Lord, and we just respect you, Lord. We respect your finished work. Even when other people are not, we respect your finished work, Lord. We look forward, Lord, to all the things, Lord, that you continue to show us, Lord. And Father, I pray for everyone that's listening to Jesus, that we would just continue listening to him. This is important to know, it's not just about you listening to Jesus. It's listen to Jesus and give it time. Give it time. Just give it time. Marinate in the truth. Just marinate in the truth. God doesn't speak everything to you at once. He doesn't bring everything to your remembrance at once. We're learning. We're growing. It's a process. Give it time. Just like the parable of the seed and the sower. It needs time to grow in your heart. But, man, you're listening to Jesus not being wasted. You listen to Jesus not being wasted. You keep listening, and you keep growing your knowledge, because all it needs is a little bit of time. The Bible calls it faith and patience. It says, through faith and patience, you can manifest these things. Through faith and patience, fruit is born through us. It's not just getting to know Jesus. It's doing that for the long run. So let's take our time with Jesus and listen to him. You're not going to rush anything. As you listen to the Lord, you're learning as fast as you possibly can. If you're just day and night, you keep listening to Jesus. You give it time, faith and patience. And the fruit is born through faith and patience, but it's already been finished. It's not patience for something to happen. It's just patience in our knowledge. Thank you so much, Jesus, for all that you've done for us, Lord. And we just thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for the time that we've had today and for the conversation we've had today, Lord. And I thank you so much, Father, for everyone listening, Lord, that they have received this and that they're growing in these things as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reforminus.com